RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program, our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, highlight, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo to pay visit to Batam. Minister Sofyan Jalil promises well-targeted electricity subsidy. South Koreans snapped for being illegal builders. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo is going to visit the shipyard industry on Batam Island in Riau Islands province on Sunday. One Stop Integrated Service Agency Director Dwi Joko Wiwoho said on Friday that besides making a visit to the shipyard industry, President Joko Widodo would also distribute Indonesian health cards to low-income residents of the island. We said he hoped the president's visit will refresh the investment climate on the island. According to Dwi, the shipyard industry is expected to experience economic slowdown as a result of a government's policy to limit mineral exports, which has already dampened demand for tugboats. He added there are around 100 shipyard companies operating in Batam, but their production process has slowed because of the mining product export limitation. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Sofyan Jalil said that the electricity subsidy removal for customers subscribing to 450 volt ampere and 900 volt ampere electricity services was aimed at improving the subsidy's targets. According to Minister Sofyan, the subsidy will be directly distributed to proper individuals. He said at his office on Friday that the scheme would motivate people to use electricity efficiently. He added cheap electricity tariffs would trigger inefficiency. Earlier, the government announced a plan to remove the electricity subsidy for customers subscribing to 450 volt ampere and 900 volt ampere electricity services starting from 2016. Jarman, the Director General of Electricity at the Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry, said that the plan was still being discussed with the House of Representatives. South Jakarta Immigration Office detained 8 South Koreans for allegedly misusing their visit permits to work constructing at karaoke bar in Melawai, Kebayoran Baru, South Jakarta. Office head Cucu Koswala on Friday, as quoted by Kompas.com, explained that the Koreans were nabbed on a Thursday and had worked for 2 weeks. Cucu said they arrived at Soekarno-Hatta International Airport on May the 24th and moved from one hotel to another. According to Cucu, his officers are still collecting evidence to discover their motives as well as hunting for the man who sent them to Indonesia and the one who employed them. He added that the 8 could also face a maximum of 5-year imprisonment and a 500 million rupiahs or around $37,529 fine each if they are proven to have misused their visit permits under Article 122 of Law No. 6/2011 on immigration. A recent meeting between UK Ambassador to Indonesia and Indonesian government did not touch on the fate of a British grandmother who was on death row in the country for smuggling drugs. This was stated by Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno LP Marsudi on Friday. Minister Retno told reporters at the State Palace in Jakarta that she discussed the British Prime Minister's plan to visit Indonesia. The focuses were in economy, trade, investment, and others. Sandy Ford was sentenced to death in 2013 and sent to the same jail as Australian drug traffickers Andrew Chan and Myuran Sukumaran, who both were executed by firing squad in April this year, along with five other foreigners and one Indonesian. Sandy Ford was caught carrying 3.8 kilograms of cocaine when she arrived in Bali from Bangkok in 2012. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Riau province says it is unable to comply with the central government's request to prepare an islet for 1,000 to 2,000 Rohingya refugees currently in temporary shelters in North Sumatra and Aceh. Riau Border Management Agency head Ramli Wahid on Friday said the government needed an island of 500 hectares to accommodate up to 2,000 refugees, while the largest islet in the province were between 15 to 20 hectares. He had previously allocated the islet of Jemur in Rokan Hilir Regency. He said a study had found that the islet's rocky terrain made it unsuitable for human habitation. Ramli stressed, however, that the Riau administration, then Provolus, did not wish to reject the Rohingya refugees but simply had a suitable islet on which to house them. The district government of Banyuwangi, East Java, has organized a traditional children game festival in Blambangan Field recently. The festival was held to preserve traditional children's games that are currently being shifted by modern games. Around 3,000 elementary students competed in 15 traditional games. Acting head of Education Service Banyuwangi, Suli Hitiono, said traditional games are currently being played by children, whether in schools or at homes. Traditional games have been replaced by television shows and modern games, which can be seen through smartphones. According to Sulih Tiono, traditional games for children should be preserved because the games can teach plenty of positive things, such as to grow mutual cooperation, respect, and cultivate social sensitivity in children. In contrast, modern games could make children tend to grow individualistic. Australian Ambassador to Indonesia Paul Grigson met with Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi at the Ministry of Foreign Office in Jakarta on Friday to submit a letter of clarification from Australian Prime Minister Tony Abbott related to bribery case to human smugglers. However, Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry spokesperson Armanata Nasir said that Australia gave unclear clarification on the information received by Indonesian government that they had paid bribery to human smugglers to turn back their boat to Indonesia territorial water.
Hari ini pada pukul 2, Ibu Menlu
ketemu. Today at 2 p.m., Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister met with Ambassador of Australia. The meeting was at the request of the Australian Ambassador yesterday, Thursday, June the 18th, to the Minister's office, which in essence aimed to deliver a letter from Australia. The letter was well received by the Minister and she has already looked over the letter, but there was nothing new in the letter and clarification requested by the minister through Australian ambassador was not submitted in the letter. Furthermore, Armanata Nasir said that the bribery issue emerged after the East Nusa Tenggara police conducted an investigation on six ships' crew and its captain, whose ship was caught in the Indonesian waters for carrying illegal immigrants. The result of the investigation revealed that they had received each $5,000 from the Australian authority as a bribe to turn back their ship to the Indonesian territory. According to Armanata Nasir, the purpose of the clarification made by the Australian government is that the Indonesian government received new information that explains the truth of the issue. Earlier, Australian Prime Minister Tony Abbott asserted that Australia will keep being committed to working with Indonesia to combat human trafficking in various forms. However, until now, Prime Minister Tony Abbott has not denied nor confirmed whether the Australian authorities had indeed paid this asylum seeker syndicate. A professor of international relations from University of Bina Nusantara, Tirta Mursitama, argued Indonesia needs to immediately ratify the 1951 International Convention and the 1967 Protocol on the Status of Refugees. According to Tirta, by ratifying the convention, it will be easier for Indonesia to organize the refugees because it has a clear legal basis. Even though Indonesia is not a country that ratifies the Convention on Refugee Status, Indonesia has accommodated many refugees, such as the refugees of Rohingya, Bangladesh, and others. I think Indonesia should ratify them because without having ratified them, we know that Indonesia has received many refugees, so that by ratifying it, we got the basic steps of what we will do when the refugees come to our country. Tirta revealed that some steps can be undertaken by Indonesia in the near future are to address the refugee problem. He said the Indonesian government can coordinate with relevant bodies, in this case the United Nations or international organizations that deal with refugees. Furthermore, it can also coordinate with local government so that there is a clear legal basis to so as not to cause social and legal and other effects. The issue of citizenship of the refugees must also be completed to prevent horizontal conflicts. Tirta said that the refugee issues is not a simple matter. Many factors are responsible for this, and the root causes of the country of origin should also be considered. It could be economic problems, as refugees are seeking better economic life. There is also a systematic expulsion from their country of origin that makes them leave their country to survive. Of the two factors, Tirta said, Indonesia as a transit country cannot resolve the problem itself. Refugee settlement needs the cooperation of various parties, both the countries of origin and international and regional organization. To end the news, here are the main points once again. President Joko Widodo to pay visit to Batam. Minister Sofyan Jalil promises well-targeted electricity subsidy. South Korean nabbed for being illegal builders. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Various important events occurred this week are summarized in the press review compiled from various newspapers published in Jakarta. I'm Dot Pani. Republika newspaper in its editorial writes, Month of Togetherness. All Muslims in Indonesia on Wednesday evening started performing Tarawih praying. That means Thursday, all Muslims from Sabang to Merauke performed the first day of Ramadan fasting for the 1436 Hijriah, the Islamic calendar. The certainty of fasting begins on Thursday, June 18, is the result of the trial Ihbad, or known by determining the start of Ramadan. Ihbad trial conducted by the government through the Ministry of Religious Affairs has decided that the first day of Ramadan falls on Thursday and agreed upon by all Islamic organizations to follow the trial. The Ihbad trial results is also the same with the decision of Muhammadiyah, who has done reckoning or determining the start of Ramadan long ago, and decided the first Ramadan falls on Thursday, June 18. Republika hopes that this togetherness will continue in the years to come. According to Republika, the importance of unity and togetherness is also one of the core message of the Holy Month of Ramadan. This blessed month already outlines the importance of Muslims to keep themselves and mutual respect. The difference is a normal sight, but the togetherness of all people to be important in this life. Compass newspaper in its editorial writes, Fasting and Inner Clarity. Ramadan comes back to give a chance for us. Muslims welcome the arrival of this blessed month with joy. There is lightness given by the God Almighty in the implementation of this service. For example, for those who are sick or on a journey, but they are still required to replace their fasting. For those who run it are required to pay fidya, which is feeding or prepare food for the poor. Compass underlines how noble the purpose of fasting. It makes human beings devoted to God the Almighty. With the devotion, people are invited to improve the quality of themselves and help improve the quality of others. Ramadan is the month of forgiveness. Muslims got ample opportunity for the remembrance of God and reflect on the meaning and purpose of life. However, in need, there is also a demand to maintain Silaturahim or friendship, and do not forget the meaning of the lives of others. In the stillness and clarity of mind will be easily born gratitude for all the favors from the God. We end press review with Media Indonesia. This newspaper writes, fresh wind from presidential regulation on food prices. In the food sector, the government always claims to be present, both in the preparation of stock and pricing. However, in fact, they have not been fully present. The time ahead of Ramadan and Eid al-Fitr will be a good time to look how hard it is for the state to address the food issue. There is no exception for this time. The increase of the community needs during the holy month, as usual, will trigger the soaring of prices of basic commodities. This time, it is even more severe because people's purchasing power is now low. The task of the government was becoming less easy because it must also oppose to speculators and hoarders of basic commodities. In the era of President Joko Widodo's administration, the issuance of a presidential decree on food control is very prominent. Finally, on Thursday, June 16, the fresh news finally came. Trade Minister Rahmat Gobel said the presidential decree on the control of the food price has been signed by the president, currently just waiting for legalization at the Ministry of Justice and Human Rights. According to Media Indonesia, one more thing, as President Joko Widodo usually stressed, a presidential decree must be rapidly implemented before it cannot be used to hunt down the speculators and hoarders. Well, listener, that was Press Review.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listeners, meet me again with me, Mariati, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. We start from an event on June 20, 1976, when foreigners, especially the United States and Britain, were evacuated from Beirut. Hundreds of Americans and the British were evacuated from Beirut, heading to safety in Syria by the U.S. military, following the killing of U.S. Ambassador Frank Zeh Meloy in Beirut, Lebanon. The murder cannot be separated from violence incident, and finally, civil war among the factions happened. A big ship of U.S. Navy had been prepared at the seaport to evacuate around 270 Americans, including 97 Britons from Lebanon City. The next event was in 1991, when the German Bundestag votes to move the capital from Bonn back to Berlin. After Berlin Wall was demolished in 1989 and reunification in 1990, German parliamentary decided to give Berlin status as the capital city of Germany on June 20, 1991, while Bonn became the main city and federal city, and Reichstag building, which was burned by Nazi in 1933, was renovated to become German parliamentary building. And the last event was in 2009, when the Hyderabad Youth Summit on Climate Change was held. Hyderabad Youth Summit on Climate Change was an event which was held at Deloitte Campus, Getty Boyle, Hyderabad, India, starting from June 20 to 21, 2009. The purpose of the event was to unite young students and professionals from across the city of Hyderabad to engage in a two-day discussion on environment and climate change in Hyderabad. This two-day conference discussed various fields of energy, water, waste, biodiversity, etc. That was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Here is today's focus on IMF lower Indonesia's economic growth projections. I'm Dalat Mani. After the World Bank last week cut its forecast for Indonesia's economic growth to 4.7%, the International Monetary Fund this week also revised its forecast for Indonesia's economy in the same level. This projected figure is far away from the target of 5.7% of the Indonesian government. IMF Deputy Managing Director Mitsuhiro Furusawa, during his visit in Indonesia on Thursday, said the revision was triggered by the weakening of exports and imports. According to Furusawa, this revision is based on the initial assessment of the economic team of the IMF. In addition to the decline in commodity prices, exports are also not too strong, he said. Citing data from the Central Statistics Agency, the cumulative throughout the beginning of the year to May 2015, Indonesia's export value fell 11.84% compared to the same period last year. In the first 5 months of this year, export only reached $64.722 billion. In addition, during the first quarter of this year, Central Statistics Agency, BPS, recorded that the domestic economy only grew by 4.7%, the same figure projected by two international financial institutions. However, Furusawa said there is potential for improvement in the growth rate in the second half of 2015, although it is not significant enough to leverage growth. It was largely determined by the ability to execute capital expenditures, particularly in the infrastructure sector. Although the World Bank and the IMF have cut its forecast for Indonesia's economic growth to 4.7%, the governor of Bank Indonesia, Agus Martowardoyo, is optimistic that Indonesia's economic growth could reach 5%. The reason? Indonesia's economic growth will be supported by the government that much capital expenditure realized in the second half. Indeed, the absorption of the government budget in the first half of the year tends to be low. Until mid-May, the total expenditure has reached 540.5 trillion rupiahs, is equivalent to 27.2% of the 2015 revised budget ceiling. In response, IMF Deputy Managing Director Mitsuhiro Furusawa said, the absorption capacity can be maximized through various strategies, including streamlining the investment process, accelerating land acquisition, and improving business climate, as well as careful planning and clear. He underlined investment and private sector involvement is an important aspect for reducing the government's dependence on debt. Well, listener, that was Focus.
This is Radio Buat Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with headlines of some newspapers in Jakarta today, June 20, 2015. First is Kompas Daily, which writes in its headline, Early Marriage Causes Problems. Act No. 1 of 1974 on marriage that included a minimum age limit of 16-year-old for women needs to be revised because of its detrimental and far-reaching impact. The Constitutional Court has encouraged the revision is done through Parliament. Chief Justice Arif Hidayat on Friday said he could not set a limit on marriage age to 18 years. It is more appropriate that the changes made through a legislative review to the revised law No. 1, 1974 on marriage law. As reported on Thursday, the Constitutional Court rejected the petition filed by the Child Rights Monitoring Foundation, Indonesian Women's Coalition, and a number of individuals who care for women's rights. They asked the court to examine Article 7, Paragraph 1 of the Law of Marriage, particularly related to the age limit of 16 years for marriage into the new limit of 18 years. According to Arif, the revised Law No. 1, 1974 on marriages was conducted by the House. Over now to Koran Tempo Daily, which writes, Cabinet reshuffle is around the corner. Cabinet reshuffle by President Joko Widodo is expected to take place in the near future. That is why a coalition of parties supporting the government plans to meet the president next week Secretary General of the National Democrat Party, NASDEM, Patrice Rio Capella, confirmed that the meeting will discuss current issues including the cabinet reshuffle. The reshuffle could be done during the current fasting month so as not to cause a stir. Rio yesterday said that his party supports the overhaul on condition NASDEM seats in the cabinet, which is currently filled by three ministers, are not reduced. This is in order to strengthen the position of president. Last is the Republica newspaper, which writes, Jokowi rejects the revision of law on corruption eradication commission. The commission tasked executing chairman Taufik Rahman Ruki in a press conference at the presidential office on Friday afternoon said, President Joko Widodo Jokowi rejects the plan to revise law number 30 of 2002 on corruption eradication commission. The president's stance, according to Ruki, makes the House could no longer impose the discussion of the revision of the law. He said the president has rejected the proposal 5 points in the law and that was a relief. He added that Code of Criminal Law and the Code of Criminal Procedure should be revised first. Well, that was headlines of Jakarta's newspaper of RRI World Service in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news in brief. President Joko Widodo is going to visit the shipyard industry on Batam Island in Riau Islands province on Sunday. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Sofian Jalil said that the electricity subsidy removal for customers subscribing to 450 and 900 volt ampere electricity services was aimed at improving the subsidies targets. South Jakarta Immigration Office detained 8 South Koreans for allegedly misusing their visit permits to work constructing a karaoke bar in Melawai Kebayoran Baru, South Jakarta. A recent meeting between UK Ambassador to Indonesia and Indonesian government did not touch on the fate of British grandmother who was on death row in the country for smuggling drugs. Riau Province says it is unable to comply with the central government's request to prepare an islet for 1,000 to 2,000 Rohingya refugees currently in temporary shelters in North Sumatra and Aceh. The district government of Banyuwangi, East Java, has organized a traditional children's games festival in Blambangan Field recently. Australian Ambassador to Indonesia Paul Grigson met with Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi in Jakarta to submit a letter of clarification from Australian Prime Minister Abbott. A professor of international relations, Tirta Mursitama, argued Indonesia needs to immediately ratify the 1951 International Convention and the 1967 Protocol on the Status of Refugees. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasi, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia. Let's make the world green.
You still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at www.voi.go.id. Listener, it is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listeners. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Geburan Bustaman tradition in Semarang, Central Java. Stay tuned. Listeners, on Thursday, June 18, 2015, Muslims in Indonesia started to fast in the month of Ramadan. Before entering Ramadan, usually every region in Indonesia has a tradition to welcome the holy month. One of the traditions is Geburan Bustaman tradition in Semarang, Central Java. Geburan Bustaman or Water War is a unique tradition at Bustaman Hamlet, Purwadinatan Village, Semarang, Central Java Province, to welcome the holy month of Ramadan. This tradition is named Geburan Bustaman because it was held at a small mosque at Bustaman Hamlet, Semarang. According to the history, Geburan Bustaman was a tradition inherited by Kiai Bustaman, the founder of Bustaman Hamlet, and also a religious figure who left many Islamic cultures in Semarang in the Dutch colonial era. In the past, prior to Ramadan, Kiai Bustaman always threw water of well which exists at the small mosque to his grandchildren. It meant to clean themselves from sin before fasting. Because of that, before Geburan Bustaman starts, the villagers clean the well. Listeners, Geburan Bustaman tradition has been held by Bustaman Hamlet since 10th of years ago. This tradition is held by Bustaman villagers to preserve local tradition which was inherited by Kiai Bustaman. Since morning, hundreds of villagers, which consists of children until elderly, have prepared colored water in plastic or container. Before the event starts, usually their bodies and faces are smeared by powder. After praying and chuck of firecracker is heard from the mosque, they simultaneously chase and throw each other, regardless of age and status. The young ones may just throw water to the older ones. Even officials may also throw the water. The smears on their bodies disappear. Uniquely, in this event, those who are thrown by water should not be angry, because this tradition, which is considered as holy tradition, is believed to be able to eliminate sins and bad character in a year. Listeners, after all the water ran out, Geburan Bustaman is ended by praying and eating together gudangan rice, namely rice with vegetables such as spinach, water spinach, beans, sprouts, with urap dressing, which is made from shredded coconut. This tradition is preserved to strengthen relationship. That was Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia. A segment featuring various actual information.
This is Aerial Service Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, custom and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition will be discussing the matrilineal system in Minangkabau Society, West Sumatra. Matrilineal system regulates the life and order of certain societies that is found in a tangle of kinship in a maternal line. Most families in the world would have a man as the head of the family. Minangkabau society, however, considers a woman can perform the role as well. In Minangkabau family, women have the duty to keep the house, while men are obliged to make a living outside, traveling to other towns, even relatively far away places. This has become a tradition in Minangkabau society, and the traveling is called merantau. It is not clear though when was the first time the system was used in Minangkabau society. Even the development of technology and modernity today does not seem too much effect the traditional matrilineal lineage system. For Minangkabau children, the father's lineage is not as important as the mother's, which includes the family inheritance. Father is regarded as a guest and is treated as one in the family. He would be served with all respect and honor as guest, but his assistant is primarily to ensure the continuation of the lineage. Matrilineal descent is one of the main aspects in defining the identity of the Minang people. Their customs culture put the women of the family as heirs to the inheritance and kinship. Women in Minangkabau have a special status called Bundo Kanduan, which literally means the biological mother with all duties and privilege. Women play a role in determining the successful implementation of modern decisions which are still made by men in their position as a mamak or uncle or brother of the mother, also the decision of the chieftain. The great influence of these women is symbolized as Limpape Huma, non gadan or the main pillar of the big house. Although this system is a tradition and customary for Minangkabau society, there are no concrete tools
or punishment if one does not use the system in one's family. This is because there are no written rules that require people to do so. The system is only taught in every man and woman from generation to generation. Currently, not all Minangkabau communities still apply this matrilineal system. Actually, it's acknowledged that any system used to build a family is prerogative of every married couple. Probably this is why Minangkabau society has no written rules regarding this matrilineal system. Basically, the system is not simply to raise or strengthen the role of women. It is, many people said, to protect the family treasures from extinction. Women are known to be more careful about customs and tradition. What is meant by family treasure usually are rumah gadang or traditional family house, other inheritance, especially heirlooms and paddy fields. Well, that was today's edition of Miscellany telling about the Minangkabau matrilineal system. Until the next edition, Miscellany, then bye-bye.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Wherever you are, welcome back with me, Mariati, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I'll introduce you to an Indonesian girl band, Princess. Princess is an Indonesian girl band which was established by the youngest Indonesian music producer, Kevin Aprilio, in 2011, but was dismissed in 2014. This girl band only lasted for 3 years. Well, Voice of Indonesia listeners, before we talk about the girl band further, let's listen to a song entitled Jangan Pergi, or in English means Don't Go. Hi listeners, you have just listened to a song entitled Jangan Pergi or Don't Go, presented by an Indonesian girl band, Princess. Before it was dismissed, Princess girl band consisted of 5 personnel, namely Anna Oktarina, Elma Agustin, Siti Gayatri, Cindy Havrestino, and Patricia Divina. This girl band has changed personnel several times. Before that, the girl band had popularized a song entitled Jangan Pergi, which was supported by Alika, Islamadin, and Rachel. Although this girl band has same concept as other Indonesian girl bands such as Cherry Bell and Blink, the fans certainly will find the strengths of the girl band. It is edited by their founder and producer, Kevin Aprilio, who is well-known in Indonesian music industry. Many fans hoped this girl band to be able to give interesting and different performance from other girl band. VOA listeners, let's listen to the second song entitled Kekasihku or My Love by Princess.
Aku merasa bahagia telah temukan dirimu kasih di saat aku merasakan kesepian yang sungguh mendalam. Hei kamu kekasihan dulu, jangan dekati aku lagi, usah sudah cerita.
VOA listeners, that was a song entitled Kekasihku or My Love, sung by Princess. Princess was officially disbanded on June 4, 2014. As the producer of Princess, Kevin Aprilio confirmed that he has disbanded the girl band. VOA listeners, to conclude Music Corner for today, let's listen to songs from Princess entitled Saranghae and Mendua. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Menarik, membuat aku ingin berkenalan. Oh.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.